very excited about that movie, aren't you? You're like, why in the world are we just watching The Chosen when we came to Firehouse? What's that about? Now listen, we're not going to just like show you The Chosen every night when you come to Firehouse, but there is a reason why I wanted you to watch that a little bit there, was because there's, first of all, who like can guess what that was? What just happened in the screen? What was it? Turn water into wine. Where? Where was he? Is that Walmart shopping? Like, what's going on? It was a wedding, right? How many of you guys know tons and tons of stuff about how Galileans had weddings? Anybody, like, you could fill me in on all the details? Okay, so, like, I see one hand that's probably just joking with me, right? So, here's the deal, is that all this stuff happens in the Bible, and Jesus says all these really powerful, incredible things through the lens of a Galilean wedding. And how many of us just raised our hand and we were like, hey, yeah, I know all about this. So what that means is, since we don't really know much about how Galileans had weddings, we don't really understand much of what Jesus actually says in the Bible. So as we're reading the Bible and we're like reading all these things about Jesus, we get to these verses and we're like, that's so weird. Why did he say that? I have no idea. And what do we usually do? We're like, we'll just keep moving on, right? And then, or we guess and we're like, well, maybe it means this. And we talk. But there's actually answers to these things. We just have to know where Jesus' perspective was when he said them. And so we're going to be starting a new series in Firehouse starting next week. And we're going to be looking at kind of the things that Jesus says through the filter of a Galilean wedding. So I wanted you guys to see one and see like a pretty good depiction of what we believe happened in Galilean weddings. And that's where he was, in Cana. And there's this beautiful wedding happening. And weddings in our cultures, right? Any culture in the world, it's like the most intimate thing that our communities do together. Weddings are these awesome times, and usually you get invited to a wedding by people who like you, right? And not like your worst enemy. That's how you get invited to a wedding. Why? Because it's an intimate thing. You want your friends, you want your family around you during that time. The whole community comes around people as they get married. It's this really cool aspect of culture. And so Jesus is like, hey, I know how to communicate to you. I'm going to pick the most intimate thing in your culture and use that to really be able to get to your heart by using these like pictures and using it as a filter to explain truth to you. But now here we are 2,000 years later, right? And Jesus has said all these things and we're like, wait, that's not how we do weddings anymore. And so we're trying to figure out what Jesus meant as he says all these beautiful, incredible things that can change your life if you understand why he's saying them and what he means when he's doing it. Now here, I want to do a little experiment with you guys, all right? So here's my experiment. Imagine tonight, how many of you guys like food? Any people like food? You're foodies? I love food too much, right? So let's say, here's like kind of like my dream too. I love this. I wish this happened to me. I love the movie Ratatouille. You know why? Because it's about food, right? And there's this food critic in it, right? And food critics like amaze me. I'm like, what are they thinking? What are they tasting? What's going through their mind? How do they know if food is actually good or not, you know? And so let's just say you come up to this world-renowned food critic. You bump into them and you're just like, whoa, it's you, you know? Maybe just pretend maybe it's Gordon Ramsay for you. Like, oh, Gordon, what's up, bro? And he's like, yeah, you know, I can't do a British accent, so good luck on that one, right? Like, so he's like, yeah, I just like critique this restaurant. And you're like, hey, listen, so tell me, what's the craziest restaurant you've ever been a food critic at? Like, what's the wildest thing that's ever happened in one of these restaurants? And just tell me like your craziest story. And so he looks back at you and he's like, okay, I got one for you. Here, this is the wildest thing. Are you ready? He's like, I went to this one restaurant. And it is world renowned. People come from all over the world literally to come to this place. And I go in, it's very expensive. It's a long wait because there's so many people trying to get food there. So you wait forever, you have to pay a ton of money for this food. And everybody around the world knows about this place, right? So he comes in and he's sitting there. And as he orders his food finally, he sees over by the doorway, this dog just waddles right into the restaurant. And he's sitting there with his expensive, this food on this like expensive restaurant, and he's sitting at his table, and he's like, why on earth is there a dog in the restaurant? Like, that's against health standards, right? That's gross, in most people's opinion. Some of you guys are like, I love dogs, it's okay, let them sit at my table. But most people in fancy restaurants are like, no, what's a dog doing here, right? And he's like, this was the biggest dog I've ever seen. It was huge. And this dog came in like he owned the place. And so the dog's just going around the restaurant, just doing whatever it wanted to do. It's going up to customers' tables, messing with customers, and people don't seem to care. He's like, it's like the people loved it. It's almost like it was like the theme of the restaurant. This dog could just go wherever he wants to, this huge dog. Customers are loving this dog. And he's like, it's disgusting, you know, like one of those. And so he's like, but that's not even the worst thing. So he's like, it's a dog, fine, whatever. I'm really going to critique this restaurant hard. So he orders his food and he waits. And as he's sitting at his table waiting for stuff to come out, he looks over by the kitchen door. And as he's just kind of looking at the kitchen door, you know what he sees come out? In his words, he's like, hey, it's the two biggest mice I have ever seen in my life come running out of the kitchen door where he just ordered his food. So they're in there preparing food, and mice are literally running out the door. He's like, "What? Who on earth would invite me to critique the restaurant when they have dogs and mice running around?" Well, not only that, but like people, again, the customers don't seem to care. He's like, these customers loved the mice. They think it's the funniest thing in the world. They think it's so cool that there are mice running, like rodents in this restaurant. They're even literally like doing selfies with the mice. Like, it's hilarious. He's like, I couldn't even believe it. I'm sitting there and we have to pay so much money for this food, wait so long. People come from around the world and there are dogs and rodents all over this restaurant. Now, first of all, when you're hearing this, it's probably not making like the top of your list to go visit the restaurant. You're like, I'm not going to go eat at this place, although it does kind of seem cool now that it's described that way. But it almost seems disgusting, right? Like dog hair is getting out, like fleas and like rodent, whatever they do, right, are all over the place. Who knows what's in the fridge in the back or their freezer if that's happening out front. You probably think that's disgusting, some of you. Some of you weirdos like me are like, I want to go to this place, you know? But would your opinion change if I mentioned something from your culture that you know very well because you grew up right here? Because you're from around this place and you know this place well. If I gave you one hint, would it change your entire perspective on that story from a big, nasty, flea-bag dog and some rodents to something different? Would you see it completely differently if I just said one thing? Mickey Mouse ears. What if that really expensive restaurant you just ate at was at Disney World, where people come from around the world to eat, and those mice are Mickey and Minnie, and people are taking pictures with them and selfies with Pluto as he's running around the restaurant, that big dog, and people think it's amazing, right? It's great. It's the greatest time of their life. All of a sudden, when I say Mickey Mouse, you see this whole thing completely differently than the way I just described it a minute ago. Why? Because you're from here. Most of you guys have gone to Disney World. You've sat in those restaurants that take forever because there's a ton of tourists all around waiting to pay crazy amounts of money for not great food. And the characters come out in their costumes and you get to interact and that whole thing. All of a sudden, it's creating these childhood, well, you guys are children, but your memories, right, of like, whoa, that's Disney World, right? When Jesus talks about some of these things in the Bible, we only hear it from the first perspective a lot of times. We don't have that intimate knowledge of being like having grown up in that place and knowing the culture and experiencing these things that Jesus is talking about, so that when we hear them, it triggers a memory immediately. Like when I say Mickey Mouse ears, you're like, oh, definitely that's Disney World. You meant this, you meant that, because you're from that place and you know that culture so well. You understand it intimately. But if you don't, and let's say you're reading the Bible like a lot of us, and we hear the words of Jesus as he talks about this cup, why was it so important that he turned water into wine? Like, who cares, really? Like, it's a cool miracle, and that's as far as most of us stop. We're like, whoa, that's awesome. He just defied physics. He turned water into wine. That's miraculous, and we think that's the greatest part of the story. And that's not even the tiniest piece of how awesome that story is if you understand what Jesus is really talking about. That miracle is the smallest part. Your mind would be literally blown if you understood all of the stuff Jesus meant in that one thing that he did there. But we miss it because we still hear the story like this. And what we need to do over the next few weeks together is learn some of this stuff so we can figure out just how mind-blowing all of these things Jesus says really is. when we understand that cultural piece and we're like, whoa, Jesus, now I get why you're talking about trumpets. Now I understand why you call us your bride. Now I understand what this, the symbol of a cup and wine is. And so what we're talking about here over the next few weeks is called Beneath the Veil. We're going to pull that veil back like a groom does to the bride to see her face plainly. We want to see the truths about what Jesus is saying to us in the Gospels plainly. We want to pull that veil back and say, Jesus, like, show us what you mean when you say these things. Not just so that we're really smart and we can talk about the Bible and know stuff, but because we want our hearts changed. Jesus, I want you to transform my heart. I want you to like touch me in a way like that I can understand these things. And not just hear about them, not just be like, that's cool. But instead, I can say, Jesus, like, change my life with your words. I want those truths to like dig deep into my heart and make me a different person. I don't want to just know about the Bible. And so my prayer is, I've been praying over this series that we're going to go through, praying over you. I would say this, like, God has laid it so hard on my heart to remind you that if you're sitting here tonight, it's not by accident. It's not just because a friend invited you or because we have some like games out there or whatever reason. It's the first week back at school. Those might be a reason. But when it really comes down to it, God chose for you to be sitting in the chair tonight. Chose for you to be in this room right now hearing this from his word right now. And as I read these next couple verses and we close, he wants you to hear this. Not just Rob, I'm nothing. But the God of creation chose all of us to be in this moment together and to hear this. Would you listen? Not just with your ears, but would you open your heart and just listen to what he says? I'm going to read you guys Revelation 19. Verses 7 to 9, and you can close your eyes if you want and just try to envision it, or you could just listen, however you want to do this. But would you just stop and leave your friends alone for a minute, focus for a minute, and just hear God speak? Forget my voice, and just say, Jesus, just talk to me for a minute. Revelation 19, it says, let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And the angel said to me, write this. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. Y'all, if these are the true words of God for you, I hope you're listening. He wants you to be invited to his marriage feast. More than that, he's proposing to you to be his bride tonight, part of his bride, the church, to be in an intimate relationship with the Creator who designed you, made you, died for you, and rose back to life. And he wants an intimate relationship with you. And I want to invite you over the next couple weeks that you'd sit down and you look at your calendar and you look at Wednesday nights and you would say, man, I want to dig into this series and learn and hear the words of Jesus. What is he really saying in the gospel? I'm tired of being confused by the verses and the words. I want to know what he means. And you mark out some space to be here on Wednesday nights, and would you dig in with us? And let's listen together to the voice of Jesus. Next week, we're going to start something new. We'll have a new series, but we're also going to have new services. You need to be aware, at 5:45, that's when middle school is going to have a service. And then at 6:45, high school is going to have their service. So we will be in two services on Wednesday nights starting next week, all right? 7th and 8th grade at 5:45, in high school at 6:45, and we want you to be with us. All right? Will you pray with me? Father, thank you that we can be here tonight. Thank you for all the new faces. Thank you for the faces who have been around here for a long time. God, that you chose us to be sitting here together in your presence to hear your word and worship you tonight. Thank you for the fun and the food and all the stuff we got going on. But Jesus, above everything, we're here to say we want to glorify you. We want more of you. If there's someone here tonight who doesn't know you as their Savior, I pray, God, right now, Holy Spirit, would you touch their heart? Would you cause them to want to know you? Talk to a leader. Talk to me before they leave, Jesus. Don't let them leave without having their sins forgiven. Father, we just thank you that we can be together as a family, and we love you. Bless you, and just pray, keep us safe for the rest of the night as we go out of here, go to our life groups, and spend some time just praying together and catching up about our week. And then we just go out and have some fun. Keep us safe. And Jesus, above all, would you be glorified? We love you. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen.